What is up, Jabroniacs? Before we start today's episode post-Rumble, hope you enjoyed the Rumble. I wanted to tell you about our Patreon push we're doing right now and kind of what it's all about. I know I plug the Patreon all the time on this podcast, but I want to let you know that we're pushing the Patreon to the next level here on the podcast where it's no longer just about just supporting the pod, just about giving the pod money. Yes, that is part of it. We are an independent podcast. We do everything ourselves. The whole thing's produced, edited, brought to you by us. And but also, the Patreon, my vision for it is it to be joining the community, of this podcast. And we've expanded that by having our Discord server, where at any patron level, you're a member of our Discord servers, where we post in there all the time. The community, we communicate all the time. And also, we post projects we're working on early. We ask your opinion on stuff that we're working on. We really give you an insight into kind of what we do. And, you know, we want to hear from you. And yeah, it's been awesome. Plus, you get access to our bonus episodes like you always do. Every Friday, we give you the AEW NXT bonus episode. We don't skimp on Wednesdays. A lot of great wrestling happening on Wednesday night. We're covering it. Also, with this 20-patron push, when we hit the 20 patrons, we're about halfway there, living on a prayer, we are going to drop new cow art. A corresponding sticker with that art that will go out to every single patron at all levels. And also, we'll bring back the Cow Movie Club, where we recommend awesome movies to you guys. And we watch, not necessarily awesome movies, but good, bad movies, all starring pro wrestlers. And we tell you if they're good or not, they're worth your time. I'm geared up to watch another Kurt Angle classic, the worst wrestling. He has the worst hit rate with movies. But yeah, so I wanted to let you know about that. Is that join the community. If you listen to this podcast every single week, I implore you to join the community. We want to hear from you. We want you involved, and we appreciate your support. All right, let's talk all things Rumble. Cheers up. Kisses. Edge tonight reported he will be. He won the Royal Rumble. There was a... Oh, my... Yo, too long.
Jesus Christ.
We
wow. Just,
okay.
We just...
Christ. Okay.
Lime, duh. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's do it again. Baby. Let's go. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
Sammy Guevara.
I am your host, the host, with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling. You can see, subscribe to our YouTube, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donsky Blackamora, the a.k.a. Papa Oat Milk, the creatine dream. Yeah. C-R-E-A-T-E-N-T-E-N. A.K.A. the modern day goof and spoof Haraja.
Monday Night Raw is presented by Southern New Hampshire University.
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gubba, gubba, wee.
Gubba, gubba,
yeah.
Wee, gubba, ooh. Gubba, gay, gubba,
yeah,
gubba,
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 wee. This girl, she be mine. And,
This is hot garbage.
Baby! Damn! She's fine. Oh, man. All Hoobastank holds up here on the pod. Welcome to the Comedian Wrestling Podcast. We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy, muy, 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 chef's kiss, caliente wrestling reactions.
Shut your mouth!
Okay, soundboard, be easy on me. Be easy on me. Wow, we're coming off the Royal Rumble.
two wrestlers, two beautiful, sprightly young wrestlers, are going to WrestleMania. They pointed at the sign, and they're going. Edge, not the guitarist from U2, but Edge and Bianca Belair are going to WrestleMania. So we are officially on the road to WrestleMania. That was a really fun WrestleMania, Royal Rumble. If you are a member of our Patreon at patreon.com/comedianswrestling and you were in the Kalzoo Thunderdome, it was our biggest Thunderdome yet. We all hung out, watched the Rumble together. It was a fucking blast. We'll be doing it again for Elimination Chamber and probably for WrestleMania as well. So join the community over there. And if you're not part of that, you're missing out. You're not on our Discord. It's a really, really good time. Did you guys have fun in the Kalzoo Thunderdome?
I had the best time of my life.
Well, Tulo, we'll get to Tulo. Let me go to Newman and Aaron first. Did you guys have a good time watching the Rumble? Did you enjoy the Rumble?
Had a really good time. Loved it.
Okay, so before we get to talking about Edge, Bianca Belair, even a little bit of Bad Bunny, I would like to address the most important thing that a wrestling podcast should address, which is Tulo's behavior during the Kalzoo Thunderdome. Now, what?
Behavior?
Yeah, Tulo's behavior. Tulo, first off, did you have a good time in the Kalzoo Thunderdome?
I thought it was a smashing success. I thought it was a lot of fun.
You were wild, bro.
Yeah. You don't know what it's like to watch wrestling with the Supermark, you know?
I mean, so Tulo, the things I'll say about it is like, it's patrons in there, and that's all good. Everyone's having a good time.
Yeah.
I noticed we have your audio, okay? We have your audio from the Thunderdome. And I'm not attacking you here, okay? Okay. I'm saying that patrons are essentially paid customers of this podcast. If I like, you know, I know it's a little more personal than that. And it's not all bad. It's not all good. But it seemed like you were a little bit to drink that night.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Stone Cold replied, "Hell yeah!" to my tweet.
That was awesome, man.
Right.
Congratulations.
So you know, like honestly, my shirt says it all. What?
Yeah.
So the only way to celebrate was I Googled fucking where I can get his beer. Found a distributor 7 minutes away, got in my car, took Danny with me, picked up a 4-pack of IPAs, got home and cracked one. I mean,
yeah, but yeah, see, okay, and that's cool. Listen, I'm not diminishing you getting Stone Cold to respond to your tweet. I'm not diminishing what's going on there. I am just saying, look, there's a beauty to what you do, and I want to give you some constructive criticism. Tulo, look, we recorded the Kalzoo Thunderdome. I'm going to post it for everybody. And the way we record, we have everybody's audio isolated. So I pulled Tulo's audio just to kind of give you a gauge to show you kind of what you do here on this. And then maybe you can explain yourself. So like, all right, there's two versions of Tulo. And there's the best beautiful version of Tulo is he is the markiest guy in the world. I mean, he's like, he literally is like bringing your like 8-year-old kid to wrestling. He like Vince is, you are Vince's, I bet you're one of Vince's guys. Yeah. He's like, this is how I want everybody to watch wrestling. No matter what, he thinks it's awesome. He believes all of it. Let's listen to Tulo marking the F out during the Royal Rumble. Okay. This is isolated audio.
Whoa, I knew it. Let's go.
Oh, Bad Bunny. He destroyed Bad Bunny's setup. Bad Bunny's going to win the Royal Rumble. Bad Bunny's going to win the Royal Rumble. You want to get dirty.
Yo, look how fucking awesome she looks. God, fuck, damn. Oh.
Yo, Dana's badass, man.
Oh, they got it. Oh, no. Yes! Yeah! Let's go! We called it, baby! We called it! Let's go! Dan, you didn't have the backbone to fucking stick to your gut! You didn't have the backbone to stick to your gut, but we did, baby. Let's go. Damian Priest. Dominic's going to win the Royal Rumble. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, damn, Chefs. Oh, yeah. But your guy just got thrown out by my guy. Yeah, yeah. Well, Rey Mysterio's son just threw your little bitch out the ring. So I don't think you guys are understanding how big that is for Team Mysterio. Bro, he just
no one understood
threw
that. No one understood.
Fucking Baron Corbin out of the ring. Not real? What is it, WandaVision? What the fuck are you talking about? It's not real. He's in the fucking
he thinks
Rumble.
It's real.
Great show, by the way.
Oh, let's go. Oh, stop his fucking face off. Oh, no, 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 no.
I think that was my set, David.
No. Oh, look at this man. Look at him go. He wants it. He wants it. Let's go, Tori.
Yeah.
Come on, Tori. Hey.
So Tula, I mean, that's
oh
a suit.
Oh my god, my face hurts. It's so
oh
funny.
Oh my god.
This is hard. So,
wait. One of Tula's shrieks is the exact same sound oh as when god. R2-T2 gets shot. Yeah.
I mean, so Tula, he's marking the fuck out literally to the point where he goes, "Let's go, Tori." It's Tori Wilson.
Dana is badass.
Yo, Dana is badass, man. Yo, Dana is badass, man. Do you hear that?
Bad Bunny's going to win the Royal Rumble.
I mean, and it's beautiful. He's marking out so much, but also there's like 50 people on the Zoom, and he's just let's go, man. You don't even know. You guys don't understand how big this is for the Mysterio. I mean, you're like a little fucking kid and like a Long Island kid. Oh, he's cracking. I mean, so Tula, that's a beautiful aspect of it. I mean, guys, Let's Go Tori is infamous. I mean, yeah. Let's go Tori. I mean, can you imagine how happy Vince is?
Put it on a shirt.
That a guy in his 30s is going, Let's go Tori. Let's see. What do you want to say,
so
Tula?
Funny.
I mean, she looked amazing. So
now, Tula, that's one side of you, which is nice. It's a little Long Island for me. You know, as a man who escaped, but this is the other side of you. There's a little bit of a aggro Tula that I think you need to hear. All right, I'm gonna try this, and I think you know the patrons. I'm not sure they need this fucking energy on the. Okay, let's listen to this.
Mm-hmm. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. Both of you. Both of you deserve to go fuck yourselves. Let's go. Fuck Shebs. Fuck Stan Black. Wow. Look at her. Look how fucking amazing she looks. How about for once you just give some appreciation for fucking someone coming back and looking like a million fucking bucks? I told y'all, motherfuckers, this is game-changing shit. Mickey fucking James? Are you fucking kidding me with that shit?
She was my pick.
Come on! Fuck!
She was my pick.
That's fucking awesome, though. I hope all of you lose. I hope every one of you lose now. Every single one of you who said that, I hope you all lose too. They're gonna take out Natalya. I told you fucking people. My guy, bitch. Oh, Timberly. I hope Dominic. Yo, Timberly. I hope fucking I can't wait for Dominic to see. Oh! It's Timberly! Eat my ass, Timberly! Let's go! Eat my ass, Timberly! Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Your guy just got thrown out by my guy.
Correct.
Eat that shit.
Accurate. Eat it.
Okay, so, I mean,
you know what shit that guy talks?
Timberly, who paid to be there, by the way.
Eat my ass! I mean, you're telling me the customers of this podcast are eating your ass? Members of the community?
There goes Baron Corbin, a jihad on your family, Timberly.
Tula, let me tell you how this works.
So
I just said
how this works
ass.
Is no one's going to say in the moment, like, I'm offended by this behavior. No, they're all going to be quiet. And then what they do is they unsign up for the Patreon. We lose somebody because they're like, that one guy is he's yelling. He's telling everybody to eat his ass.
I mean, I will apologize for using the term eat my ass. That is a bit aggressive. But I will say this, though. That motherfucker was coming at me all night. And I'm getting it from all angles about this Dominic Mysterio
shit. No, he was not.
No, he was talking wasn't.
Shit.
No.
Josh Timberlake was not coming at you all night.
I don't think that what you said was wrong. I'm not offended by eat my ass.
Yeah.
And you were.
Let's go, Tori.
But I don't think Josh.
Let's go, Tori.
Sorry,
coming for you.
He talks That's a lot okay. of shit.
No, Aaron, what were you saying? You said you.
I don't just think that you. Nick needs to apologize. I also don't think that Timberlake was coming at Nick either. Right. So.
I like that version of Tulo. I like that version. I think more
it's
of
the
our
same
listeners.
Guy. I don't know that this
no,
is
just drunk. More of our listeners need to be told to go fuck themselves, I think. So I appreciate that.
That I am fine with.
Go fuck yourself. Go you fuck deserve. Yourself.
This is a great one that didn't make the cut. What is that, Tulo?
Man, clip this. Clip this.
Oh, man. Look. Obviously, I'm not deeply offended by this or anything. I just wanted to nip this in the bud and just say this is what is being recorded here. This is what the patrons are hearing, and I wanted to make you aware of it. Maybe... You know, make sure checking everything's all right, and maybe you I'm know, good, like, you're all right.
I
all
think
right.
people. I think this should get more people to sign up for the Cows right. and Thunderdome. Like, this is the level of excitement it gets to.
Yeah.
In the CZT.
I was
Let's
just really
go,
drunk.
Tori.
I mean, yeah. But I stand by a lot of the things I say.
Yeah. All right.
Dana Brooks. Yeah. What was the thing about Dana?
Yo, Dana. Badass.
Dana Brooks, badass man. She's badass man. Do we have that? I don't know if I have that one isolated yet, but don't worry, I will very soon.
I'm going to listen to the supercut again.
Oh, listen, you're cheering for Dana Brooke. Once you're cheering for Dana Brooke, you are off the mark deep end.
Listen, I'm just letting the listeners know I'm aware of this issue with Tulo in the Thunderdome. If you think it's an issue or you think it's good, I want to hear from you. Post it in our Discord if you're part of the community. If you think it's boosting morale, you think it's hurting it. It's my job here just to I'm the curator. I wear many hats here. You know, I wear many hats here. I'm trying to just talk about wrestling. Somebody came to my attention, and I wanted to bring it up to the community that this is, you know, that we have, a key member here.
Oh, fuck yourself.
Telling everybody to go fuck themselves.
Oh, well, not everybody. Shebs and you. Okay. More specifically. So.
Okay.
Shebs is another offender.
Speaking of Shebs, though, I'm starting to think that after he attacked you, he did like a fiend number on you and like reverted you to some other version of yourself to where now you're like the super aggro version at the hands of the fiend. Shapiro.
Maybe. I don't know, man. I had COVID. I got beat up by my like literal best friend / brother. It's been a wild ride in this pandemic. So
meanwhile,
I appreciate
is just
that.
Sitting spread eagle.
If we're doing
spread
feedback.
Eagle on
yeah,
Thunderdome.
I know. That was wild. He was sitting there with his. All right. Anyway, let's talk about. So Tulo, I just want to make you aware. Like you're, you know, I'm not saying you're like in trouble or anything, or you're out of the Thunderdome or anything. No, nothing like that. But I just wanted to make you aware that you were screaming stuff like, you know.
Oh, fuck yourself.
You know? you know?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. It's fine. It's done.
I am the supermarket.
Yes. So let's, I think we start in a place where you think you know, but you don't.
You think you know me. You think.
So I think we talk about Edge for a second. Okay?
Can you ring the bell?
Oh, I can. Oh, yeah, I'll ring the bell.
I love how excited he gets to ring the bell. He always does it.
Five times.
That was terrible.
That was the worst one yet.
That was terrible. I'll tell you what. Oh, man. That ring can.
Oh, fuck yourself.
Okay, so listen. I don't know. But I want to talk about Edge for a second, and then we'll.
Do you want to introduce us first?
Oh, shit. Sorry, guys. Everyone was in here. Well. Well, you know, the supermarket Nick Tulo is obviously in the house, everybody. Yeah. Here, how do you want to intro yourself? Okay, that's a coherent intro. Very nice job. The first lady, Erin Finnerty, in the house.
What up?
What up? He's a nasty, nasty boy. The nasty one. The no seller of questions. Nasty Newman.
It's Newman if you're nasty. How about it?
Wow.
Ooh, it's Newman in your roof. That sounded dirty. Oh, my God. Anyway, let's get revved up. Okay, so Edge tonight reported he will be. He won the Royal Rumble. There was a Tula.
Jesus Christ!
He just burped into the mic. I just wasted fucking like 15 minutes of the opening of this podcast after the Rumble to explain your behavior to you very kindly here and diplomatically, and then you burp into the microphone. What the fuck was that?
No, that was a complete accident. I couldn't get, you see how I turned my head? I was trying to get all the way out of the way because
let's go, Tori.
Sorry, I really greatly apologize. That was a complete accident.
This whole soundboard's going to become too low.
Sorry. It might have been all the laughing and stuff. I don't know, man. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, okay. Well, whatever. We'll talk later. But listen, right, okay. Let's talk about Edge, okay? So Edge is back. He won the Royal Rumble. He wrestled on Monday in the main event of Monday Night Raw. Crazy. He's going to be on NXT tonight. Okay, here's my thing with Edge right now. I want to gauge where you guys are. I love Edge. And I'm cool with him. I'm cool with him winning the Rumble. It's not for me the most exciting pick personally, but I know there's way worse people who could have won. It's cool. You got to trust that Edge is going to be able to tell a story going into the actual Mania event. I believe that he will be wrestling Roman Reigns. I don't see any other math around that. And I think that that's a good match for Reigns. But he came on Raw. And he's pulling this, like, he pulled a very, it was a very inauthentic conversation he had with Drew, I felt, when he showed up. And he's like, yo, what are you doing, man? I could, like, take you out any second. And I was like, that's just not the character you are anymore. You're going to have a hard time convincing me you're still the ultimate opportunist and the radar superstar. If he wants to go that way, he needs to really, really go that way, which would have been to hit him, come in the back of the ring, hit him with this DDT thing or spear him and just bounce, even if he takes the match with Reigns, you know? But that's a little heel. So he's going for like a babyface ultimate opportunist, or he was being a babyface just like, I'm here just to tip you off and give you a tip. Like, they're like, hey, Drew, I just want to let you know, like, what are you doing? I don't know. It didn't work for me. Did it work? Did it work for you guys?
No, it's not working for me.
Right.
Say that. Like, I think it's too early to figure out if it's working for me. But right now, I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to assess what title he wants to go for. So he's sizing up all of his opponents.
Yeah.
Going to NXT tonight. He'll be on SmackDown on Friday. I don't think it's going to be Roman. I think it's going to be with Drew. But I don't know. It was like weird. I'm cool with it because he looks crazy. Like, he looks like, I don't know what it was.
So let's talk about that for a second, and then I'll go right back to you. Is that Edge, I believe, to be really HGH'd up to the point that one thing we learned from when Ryan Stanger came on the show, right, Aaron? Mm-hmm. He was saying that if you take human growth hormone, I'm supposed to go on the dumbbells again soon. But he took human growth hormone, and he was saying that it makes your bones grow. And it looks like his features are way more prominent now.
Well,
and he also is very lean. So, right?
Yeah. He said it makes your bones grow. So that accounts for a lot of the like big like jaws that you see on these guys like Arnold or more recently maybe Kumail. And also that accounts for like gaps in teeth and stuff like that. So
what flavor is that, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, that? Kane. Yeah, I mean,
what flavor is that?
Oh, lime. Duh. Sorry. Wow. That was a space. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Whoa, I knew it. Let's go.
All right. So, yeah. So, anyway, look, I want to be very clear. I am a huge. Edge is, you know, one of my guys. I love it. When Edge started being the Radar Superstar, I remember texting Shebs and being like, yo, you got it. You're not going to believe me, but Edge is cool now. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're not going to believe me. Edge, yeah, yes, yes. The guy, he was in The Brood, and he was in, like, Edge and Christian, which were a good tag team. But, like, Edge is now, like, a top guy. And he just was. Like, he started to, he was like, but what was so fucking awesome about Edge was you believed he would do anything. He had no shame. Anything to win. Anything. He started anything to get that edge. Married Vicky Guerrero. He was making out with Vicky unapologetically on TV all the time. Just like licking her face. Because it was like anything for the title. He was like a mix of like Trump and Schmeagle. You know? It was like it was fucking filthy is what it was, you know? Yeah, the sex celebration in the ring, which is hard to talk about now because Lita's saying that she would have been fired for it, which is fucking disgusting, you know? But I'm just talking about my 15-year-old eyes was like, this is cool. I like this. This guy's going to have sex in the ring. you know? So, yeah. But so Edge now, essentially, what is the exact story with Edge is that he's still awesome, right? And then he came back. He's still strong. I'm interested to see where they go with it. I believe that once Edge, I don't think he's gaining much from not locking in his feud because we want to start telling this story, making it more personal faster. But I do believe by the time Edge, Roman, don't underestimate Edge. He knows this business. He's really great at it. Once Edge, Roman is locked in and they start going with that, you will be into that.
You're so locked in on it being Edge and Roman, and I don't think it's even close, dude. I don't think it's even close.
I would take that bet.
I don't think it's. I honestly, I don't see it at all.
The only problem is that if I lose that bet, you'll probably say something like,
"Oh, fuck yourself."
I just don't know what you. I think you guys are so, and I know because I just keep hearing the same thing from you and Shebs, and Dipperstein.
I also saw something in the sheets, by the way.
And Aston. And everybody's like very obsessed with this spear thing that they have spears. Everybody thinks they're going to face each other. I don't know. I think you guys are just getting work. I think Drew's the way to go. I mean, Drew's the one that's fighting all those. I don't think is Edge going to challenge Roman because he thinks he's the head of the table. No, his story doesn't make sense to go up against Roman. His story is about getting back that championship that he
Tulo, what are you really talking about? The title that he lost was the SmackDown title.
But he didn't lose it. But who cares about the SmackDown
title? He did lose
title?
He had to give it up. And he should win the SmackDown title and turn it back to the big gold.
That's not gonna happen.
Why not?
Do you think that's gonna happen?
Well, because here's the thing. If we keep getting to this territory where Roman just beats everybody, and then why are we bringing back legends all the time just to fucking lose? You know, it's like Edge should do something like we should do something sneaky and be like do something classic Edge. You know what I mean? And sneak out with that title at Mania. It would be I would love it. Yeah, I mean,
sure.
And you'd be like,
you think you know me?
And then at SummerSlam, Roman beats the crap out of him and wins the title back. I think it would be beautiful. I think Edge against Roman, you have to have Edge win. It's Roman will not benefit from. He's already beat Taker. He's beaten Cena. He's beaten everybody.
Roman? Can't that just be accomplished by him going against Drew? It's not like Drew needs to win.
Because it makes Roman. It also locks in Roman as more of a heel. You know? But yeah, so what? How do you see Drew? I'm just saying, if you're going with that story, why do you think Edge would want Drew? You think it elevates Drew to go up against Edge?
Yeah, and I think it's just the Brock's story going that he's Drew. Telling. Look at the way that. Yeah, I'd rather Brock versus Roman though. I think Brock and
again?
Roman tell a way better story. It's a completely new story. Roman's on the other side of the spectrum. He's got Paul Heyman in his corner. Are you telling me you'd be more jazzed up for Edge versus Roman than Brock versus Roman with Heyman and Jey Uso and an unleashed Brock? Like, that's the Brock that you want.
Well, no, you bring up, where are you? I want to hear Aaron and what Aaron and Newman, what Matt at Tulo?
I'm not saying anything.
Please? I mean, I don't know what this new Tulo is, but after that, I thought they're all my, you know.
I just shifted to the side.
Don't hide from that. I won't allow you to hide from that. Don't act like don't gaslight me. I know what went down. All right, Newman, and by the way, I still have no idea what gaslighting means, but Newman and Aaron, what matches would you like to see at Mania? And specifically, what do you want for Edge?
Well, I think you can go Edge Roman if you add Brock to the equation. Just do like Brock Drew. I think that would be a lot of beef. I'd love to see it.
Ooh.
Why not?
But what do you think is going to happen?
There's a lot of beef out here.
I think I have no idea what's going to happen, but you know, I'm fine with that. Edge Roman.
Well, what do you want? Okay, what do you want?
I don't care. I don't want anything.
See, that's what I'm saying, Aaron. I almost said, and then I was like,
genuinely don't care.
Aaron, I almost said you don't have to care. I almost said that, and then I was like,
well,
I talked too much.
Well, when you say, what do you want? It's like, I don't want anything. I want
whatever
Aaron. Happens. Yeah.
You don't care.
I specifically don't give a shit. I don't want Edge in anything. I'm not an Edge mark. I think Edge is corny. I think it's at the expense. I hate to be this guy, but it's like at the expense of younger talent. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit what he does.
Like, I don't want to see Brock Roman again. I'll tell you that. Like, that ship has sailed for me. I don't care.
Right.
But, like,
so last week, none of us chose Edge.
For Drew, I'm up for.
Right, and this is why specifically I said to you guys, what do you want and what do you think is going to happen last week? Because now we have what's going on, and then it's like, we have the data that none of us wanted Edge before the Rumble.
None of us wanted Edge, yeah.
Edge also was a wrestler at a time where a lot of us dipped out, you know? Like, for me, I never watched Edge, so I never really, like, I know of the history
of
Edge.
You got to trust me, he was awesome. He was so fucking sleazy.
But,
it was great.
Like, I'm a little like,
he's like Don Callis.
Wouldn't it have been better then, like, to have him just win the Rumble last year when he did that return? Like, now it's here, and even him winning at one didn't move the needle for me. You know, like, I'm happy for him. I'm stoked. But, like, what did him winning at one prove? That he just couldn't, that, like, last year he did that return and that was all that momentum.
Well,
you know?
He won it one in a very uneventful way. Like, they didn't sell, and also you didn't have a crowd, by the way, so it's worth pointing out, but they didn't sell, like, Edge is still in there. Like, there was none of that. Like, there was none of the, like he almost got out, and it's like, we thought he was done, and he's huffing and puffing, and then he didn't show you, like, that would have been a great story to tell, which is, like, he's old.
No offense,
a great,
but Tula, Bianca Belair
he
did
been, it would have, yeah, but... Tula, you keep doing this where you go to the other Rumble. It's fine. Yeah, of course.
No, I'm just saying. Just, no,
the women's Rumble was better than the men's Rumble.
No, I'm not even saying that. It's just Bianca started at 3 and won the Rumble before the men's Rumble, you know? So it's like, so him winning at 1 isn't all that great of a feat when someone just won at 3. So
well, they just winning at 1 is always cool. Mm-hmm. But when, like, Shawn did it,
right,
and, like, even when Rey Mysterio won at 2, they kept being like, Ray's still in there. Like, they didn't sell that at all.
Right.
So when Edge won, I, like, forgot he came in at 1. Did you guys remember? So, yeah. And that's a great story to tell, which is, like, this guy, 47 years old, actually persevered and won. It's like, no, they're treating it like he's left. He's still the same level of, you're right, he's the same, you know? So I think they'll smooth that out and it's okay. But it is worth noting. And Newman, I agree with you. And there's nothing wrong with you being like, I don't care. Like, it's fucking great. Like, that's how you feel about it. It's not binary. You don't have to be taking whatever WWE wants is shoving down your throat. And it is a bummer that but I do believe that if Keith Lee didn't have COVID, he had a real shot of winning. Or
he was on Raw. Like, what the fuck was that about?
Like, was he on Raw?
Yeah. Was he not?
No. No,
he did a backstage day segment with hang on. He was.
No, that's Carlito.
Hang on. Yeah.
Sorry, you got Carlito mixed up with Keith Lee. No, but he am I wrong? No, I don't remember seeing Keith Lee on Raw. I don't remember seeing Keith. We both did. But okay, if he was, it was backstage and they cheated it. You know, if they needed a segment out of him.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he has COVID, to be honest, because Mia Yim tested positive, so we don't know. But I do think Keith Lee had a shot, and I think Aleister Black would have had a shot if he wasn't on the fritz with this company. Him just not showing up in the Rumble makes it very clear to me that his relationship with WWE is not on good terms. And the way they fired his wife was not right, and I imagine that had to be pretty tricky for him, right?
I see him as a guy who just doesn't give a fuck, and he's probably just like, if you don't want to put me on TV, so be it. I'll wait my time, and whenever you guys decide to leave me, I know I'm going to be fine going wherever I go. So
I think he's a pretty emotional guy, right, on record?
Yeah. And
and also, when it comes to your wife, it's a whole different story. Story Wilson.
Let's go, Tori!
That was a stretch, but I wanted to play it. I do think they went with Edge, and my guess is if I was backstage, which I wasn't, I bet that was not like all week they're like, Edge is going to win. I would bet anything, you know? I think that he was a safe pick.
I think they knew that Monday, the week before, I think they knew, because his promo was, he came out of nowhere and cut a promo saying he was getting in the week before the Rumble, you know, like the go home show of the Rumble. When I saw that, I was just like, you know what? I was like, fucking Edge is going to win.
Yeah.
I'm a little over the like Edge straight to the camera in a boiler room, fucking one note promo. Tired
you,
of it.
Yeah. It's like he's doing a thing like, you think you know me, 'cause I'm in the boiler room. And it's like, I think we know you by now, bro. You've been exposed, my friend. Now, one other thing I'll say about Edge before we move on is, so he wrestled on Raw, which shocked me. I was like, I feel like they would protect him, but Tulo, I know I'll go to you at your point. Actually, Tulo, go. How did you feel about Edge wrestling on Raw?
I was blown away because I mean, in my brain, I'm thinking, all right, this guy came back last year, had a really bad injury, you know. I mean, I wasn't expecting to see him wrestle until Mania. And Monday, he's wrestling Randy. And for what reason? I don't even really fucking even know, because didn't they settle their beef the last time? So now they're going through it again. So I was like, I'm shocked. And then hear that he's going
to
be on.
They didn't settle it, right? Because Randy won their last match. So if Edge going, it helped to have Edge get a win over Randy. And also put a period on that. I actually thought that was really nice, because it was like, hey, I have this thorn in my side. He's like, I'm going into Mania, but I still have Randy, and Randy's still going after him. And Randy's the legend
killer.
Wasn't
expecting it to happen on Raw as the main event, too. And, you know, I was just shocked. I was blown away, especially if they did the Royal Rumble the day before and he just fucking wrestled. He just won from the one spot, you know, like. So I'm like, all right, so what's the plan here? Is this guy going to wrestle full time?
Here's what I think the plan is. I was thinking about it. I think Edge is – I think this is really smart. It's risky, but it's really smart, is that Edge is going to wrestle a lot leading up to Mania, and he's going to risk it. And I think on NXT tonight, he will have a match. I believe that he will wrestle tonight.
And I think on SmackDown.
And he's going to wrestle on SmackDown. And I think also he wants to wipe the ring rust as well. Like, it could help him to get those matches in. He's like, why not do them on TV over training, you know, doing it in the PC? And I think he's going to try to be like, I want people to not think I'm just some. I want people to be excited as me as a current talent. You know, and that's what I would do if I was him also, when I think about it.
I would almost be jazzed up for him to be like, I want to see what show I want to be on. I want to see where my competition is the best, where I would feel like if I was the champion and I won, I would have the best competition going forward. So he wrestles on Raw, and he beat Randy, and he wrestles on NXT, and he beats whoever, and then he goes to SmackDown, and he beats whoever, and then he's like, all right, I'm going for this title, because I think after I win at Mania, I'll, like, just a little
if
bit.
If I was him, I would be like, yo, I would delay the choice a little bit.
Yes.
And what I would do is I would be like, yo, I want to wrestle some of these younger guys to show everyone I still got it.
Yeah.
The problem is that's burying younger dudes. He's going to start pinning Ricochet. Like, he's going to start pinning all these dudes.
And
he has to win.
About his health.
He can't lose a match. He can't lose a match that's not schmazzy before Mania, right?
I think after this week, we won't see him wrestle again until Mania.
I think he's going to wrestle a bunch. I think it's going to be a really smart move by him, too.
A weird thought. We don't really know in this, like, Thunderdome era what is pre-taped and what is
You think
live,
you
right?
know me?
No.
It could, like, for all we know.
I think it's all pre-taped.
They could even be pre-taping Matt. Like, everything but the Rumbles could have been taped who the fuck knows when and just sewn together and presented as live. We have no idea.
No.
It's tangentially related, but
all the stuff they're doing with Alexa, that's all pre-taped. All right, let's move on quickly so Bianca gets her due that she completely has earned. We talked about this a bunch on the episode of Monday with Skylar Astin, with Drunken Tulo, and the Cow Champ, Jason Shapiro. But Bianca, listen, I'll repeat myself. All of us chose Bianca. Now, I went with Charlotte ultimately, which I stick by, is that I kind of love that, you know, that's just my style. It's something I love about New Japan that I wish we saw more. Like, I want to see more dominant champs because I want stakes to be higher. I want titles to be less of props, you know? So it's a complaint about the WWE product, you know? But that being said, I did choose Bianca before I went with that thought. She is the person to, like, I love that they're ahead. They're never, they feel like they're never ahead. Like, Drew winning last year, it's like, it's late for Drew, but the timing worked out great, you know? But it's his, it peaks and valleys. It's like his third, it was his third peak that they chose to give him that on. Bianca, this is her first peak. This was her, and she's not even at the top. Like, she's climbing still. So it's cool to get ahead of it, especially in the women's division where they have less talent and they have less competitors who can believably are built up to wrestle someone like Charlotte. So I think that's awesome. If she and my point is that even if she doesn't rise to the occasion in terms of, like, you know, the match will obviously be good because she's super talented in ring. But I mean, in terms of you really feeling invested in the feud that happens, that's okay. It's okay to whiff trying stuff out. Like, the Shinsuke AJ thing ended up not being particularly great, but it was worth it, you know? So I just think this is a great move by WWE, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, I think that I think it's cool that I would not have been mad if Charlotte won. I think it's cool that there is, like, a different. If you go back and watch the Women's Rumble last year, Charlotte has a different mode that she gets into when she's in the Rumble, and it is like this, like, Titan, like, she can't be stopped. But yeah, no, it's hopefully they don't. It isn't just like a perfunctory sort of, like, Rumble win, and they do actually book it.
I think we saw something cool happen also, where we saw two stars being born on one night, which was Rhea and Bianca, where they knew they needed to push Charlotte out of the way to show that there's new talent here and we're going to do whatever it takes to get the spotlight. And I think that's that vibe that Bianca's going to go for and that she's going to be super successful with, is that the spotlight is on her. Now everybody's watching, and there's no stopping her. Like, she's undeniably a top, top talent. And I don't think, honestly, in a really long time, I've felt this way about a wrestler than I do about Bianca Belair, and the importance of her being who she is, being a black woman, winning the Royal Rumble, first time ever, getting the focus on her. I think it's so important, and especially now, possibly even main eventing one of the nights at WrestleMania against Sasha Banks, against this huge superstar. I think it's going to be just so easy and effortless for them to put on a great show leading up until Mania.
Bianca, I mean, I'm hoping that she nails this. She has not had any successful feuds for me. Nothing that, like, I mean, the matches have been good, and I don't count anything in NXT. Nothing in NXT is story-driven. It's all, she was there when it was quarterly takeover-driven, where you're like, everyone's just going to love the takeover. For me, this is my opinion. And so she is not a successful feud for me. The Bayley one's a little goofy. It's fun. It's a little goofy. But we're talking about Mania now. So I hope she nails it, and I have faith that she will. I'm just going to say, I'm sending just positive vibes for her to rise to this moment.
All of them.
Because if we talk about Drew, whether you are a Drew mark or not, I just think Drew, we can all agree, Drew has become a believable top guy in WWE. Like, he's taken this, he's puzzled it together, found his zone, became that locker room general kind of vibe. Like, dirt sheetsy for me. But you believe that he's, like, the, you know, every time there's a champ, it's always, like, they're always, like, it's not just fake, man. Like, it's, Frankly, you're actually the leader back there. It's not just performative. Like, Drew has stepped into that role, like, seamlessly, you know? And so, good for him. I hope Bianca gets there. I have a feeling Bianca will lose to Sasha at Mania. That's my prediction.
Interesting.
I think it elevates her. I still think that's good for her.
I think this is like a Kofi kind of moment here. I think it's, let's see how it rides, you know? And if Bianca can get everybody behind her and Bianca gets that vibe about her and everybody's cheering for her, you know Sasha has no problem eating the pin there at Mania, I think. And honestly,
I think she probably has a huge problem.
I think Sasha is one of the markiest. It's one of her greatest qualities as far as I'm concerned.
Used to losing that title a lot. And then if she loses it at Mania, I don't think it really is that. Because I honestly think they can continue that storyline through SummerSlam.
Bianca should go in, have a fucking great showing.
Yeah.
Great. She pushes Sasha to the brink, to the edge. Yeah. Sasha ekes it out, and Sasha holds her arm up, and it's like, wow, what an opponent. I think that's the best way to build Bianca, because then you'll want to see her go back.
You know,
wins, my thing is
Iron Woman match, like 60 minute. They don't really do those.
They don't do 60 minute matches at Mania. They do like 8 minute matches.
Hours long. They got time.
I would love to see them after Mania keep the feud going even. Yes. But do you guys agree with me that Bianca, I think there's something nice about Bianca losing the actual match but having a great showing.
Okay,
that's the best move for Bianca.
I think
and then have Sasha, and also you get Sasha. I don't even know if that's what the match is going to be. Okay, guys, here's my next question. When does Charlotte win the title, a title back?
Tomorrow.
Right? She's going to be beating Asuka probably at the Chamber. They'll probably have a match at Chamber and Asuka, and she beats Asuka.
Yeah,
and then we go, Rhea will win the Elimination Chamber. It'll be Rhea Charlotte for the title.
I think that's the best way to go. I think that's
and then Rhea will beat her, I believe.
I also think that would be great, too.
But then Charlotte's starting to be the, like, 25-time women's champion already.
Who fucking cares?
Yeah, it's not bad.
You know she's going to end with the same amount of title reigns as Rick. You know that's what it's going to be about. Or one more than Rick, you know? So she's the lead, flair, but... You know they're going to get her up to that number.
Right. Anyway, that's what I think. So, what is the Bianca match you guys want to see? And keeping in mind that Asuka can drop that title or Sasha, like, what is the match you want for Bianca at Mania just off the cuff?
Just Sasha.
It is Sasha for me. That is the match I want
to
see.
It's going to tear the house down.
It's Sasha, but it's also with the caveat that I don't know what match I wouldn't want to see with Bianca. Like, I think of, like, everybody on all the women on the main roster, and it's like, line them up.
Isn't the math beautiful? If, like, I was saying this on the Mondays episode, which you can check out now. It's on the main feed. I was saying that the beauty of wrestling, the things that you can't describe about why wrestling is is so fucking amazing, like how it constantly loses me and then makes me like fall back in love with it all the time, right? It's like I have these moments of like, why am I watching this thing? It's so bad. And then I'm like, I adore this so much. Is like these moments where they're not manufactured. Bianca, I mean, they are, but they're because like it's booked a lot of the times, but so portions of it are. But the algorithm of Sasha, if there was a computer algorithm and there was someone in front of like the Matrix computer, it was like they never gave her that title in NXT. That ended up being a big plus for her, you know, because she's never had a big title run. So that goes. So that's a plus. So you saw the equation of Bianca. You had that Sam Roberts moment where he doubted her. That was actually a plus. That was a plus moment for her. And right. And then, like she comes in. And you start doing that math, you know, where you're like, oh, and then it's timing and all that. And the algorithm of it all led to this moment where all four of us chose Bianca, even though she was not particularly in a great. We all kind of know you have that wrestling Spidey sense that like it's Bianca's time for this Rumble. And that's fucking cool about wrestling. It doesn't happen in sports. Sports is like the best guy. He's the best guy. Or, oh, he has a moment. It's like. You guess you could say he's going to have a good game, whatever. I don't know. It's lame.
I actually feel like I'm more confident in WWE telling Bianca's story going into Mania than I am actually in them telling Edge's story.
Oh, that's how I feel. Edge is going to do it his own. Edge is so good on the mic. He Edge has an X factor. He's you'll be into it.
Did you guys watch Bianca Belair's Chronicle?
I heard it's great. Aaron, yeah, did you watch it?
I watched it right after she won the Rumble.
And?
Wow.
Give a special report.
I went into the Rumble on that. Special report. It was really cool and good. She is very likable. She has a great story, great personality, you know, has a lot of failures that she faced in her life. And, but she's just like an incredible athlete and has a great attitude. And I really like her as a human being. So, you know, I have nothing but love for Bianca Belair.
Right.
And her relationship with Montez is also, you know, really cool.
Yeah, they'll bring Montez into the story. That's gonna be a nice cherry on that. Like,
yeah,
if you have Sasha start choking out Montez or something, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? That's gonna be, because they had
get
that great shot.
Statement.
There's a nice element there for work shoot. Like, there's a really nice element there. People are suckers for fucking with a real spouse who's also a superstar. You know, they love it, folks. I'm surprised they've never fucked with Sasha's husband, right?
I was just thinking, imagine if Bianca went back there and started like fucking with his like sewing machines and stuff.
Yo, fuck your sewing machine. Fuck. Oh man, that'd be great. Oh man, that'd be great. All right, moving on. I want to talk about Bad Bunny for a second. Okay.
Okay. Well,
so
Bad Bunny, a favorite to win the Royal Rumble, depending on who you talk to.
Nick Tilo said he was going to win.
He's gonna have a WrestleMania match.
No, now Bad Bunny is they said he's gonna wrestle. He's gonna do something at WrestleMania. So look, all right. The thing with Bad Bunny is, I don't know. I obviously didn't know he was before this. I obviously am not a fucking moron. I see he's got like fucking bajillion followers. The guy's a huge deal. Okay, and also he's big for cracking into the Latino market. He's not. His songs are in Spanish, right? So I don't speak Spanish. I did take 7 years of it.
Retained nothing.
Yeah, it didn't stick. So, but his Booker T song, I'll say that, I was singing it in my head all day, you know? But, which was odd because it was kind of like eye-opening for me, because I was like, I had a moment, like a woke moment, whatever you want to call it, of like, I was trying to sing it, and then I was like, doing my version of Spanish, which is probably offensive, you know, like trying to sing it. But also it came from a authentic place of like, oh, I wish I understood this, you know. And I was like, oh, think about how many times people feel that about English music, like Western music, where they're like, oh, I don't understand this song. You know, I just like I'm judging this music based on the vibe and the beat only. And the only thing I understand in it is Booker T. When he goes, Booker T, it's the only time I know one word in the song. You know, at a moment. Because this guy's so popular, so you kind of put it into perspective. Look, here's what I want to say about Bad Bunny. Clearly, he's best for business. If you're someone being like, why would they bring in this guy? You're an idiot. But I want to take an even step further back and be like, even that argument is lame. Like, is this what we're talking about as marks? We just had the Royal Rumble. Like, this guy's a huge mark, Bad Bunny. He's this big star. It's a company. So
he's
there.
He buys wrestling for sale.
Right. But also, like, is it like all of these, like, I saw, like, Ryan Satin put out a clip that's just like, look at me schooling all these wrestling fans who, like, don't want to see Bad Bunny. It's like, this is what you want to do with your time? Like, I'm like, whatever, man. Like, they don't like him. Some like him. He's best for business. It's never changed what Vince does. For me, if he's a mark, if you're a mark and you're there, there's room for it. It's fine. You know what I mean? The only problem I have is like when Jon Stewart interfered with an actual title match, like at SummerSlam, that was the time where I was like, oh, and then he came out and was like, oh, it's because of Ric Flair. Remember that Cena moment?
Yeah.
That like was too inner. That was, but if it's Raw and you got 3 hours and you want to put a little Bad Bunny segment, it's best for business and let's not even fucking talk about it. Who cares? Yeah. That's it. It's done.
Well,
and
Bad
also
Bunny,
that goes for Ryan Satin also. You also don't need to shoot down marks all day. Let marks, any reaction to the product is a reaction to the product. It is what it is.
The guy has a song named Booker fucking T. He can do whatever the fuck he wants, okay?
That's the thing.
Whatever he wants.
Not only is the song called Booker T is literally in the video. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the song, And I am very keenly aware of how the beat goes because it's the only thing I understand in the song. It goes into the Booker T music. And then it goes, "Can you dig it, sucker?" And you're like, "Hey, I got no beef with this." I had no beef when I watched Flo Rida and Pitbull. All I'm asking for is 1 year, give me a little, you know, maybe a little Dave Matthews. You know what I mean? Doesn't have him trip Phillies. No, but I would love to see. I could use a. I need a little bit. All right, fine. We'll cut the difference. A little like Killswitch Engage.
Something heavier. Yeah. I mean, it's. I think Bad Bunny too is big with the Zoomers and, like, you know, the Generation Z and all them too. So it's not only the Latino market. It's much, much younger people as well getting pulled in by Bad Bunny. Yeah, fuck it. Like, who cares?
Who cares?
The least important thing.
Maybe because, you know, Cardi B, from my special report a few weeks ago, and Bad Bunny have a song together, I Like It, with J Balvin. Maybe Cardi B joins and enters.
Yeah, the guy's a huge star, but also if you don't want it in your wrestling, I also have no problem with that. I have no opinion on this. Just everybody shut up. It's fine.
We didn't dedicate any time to it.
I just feel like I had to because it's like, I follow all these accounts on Instagram and like, this is what they're talking about. It's like, it's just so annoying.
I mean, now, but then you start getting into like, because there's now a commodification of negativity and it's like, you have to say quote unquote controversial thing so that people react to it because reaction equals clicks equals ad dollars equals engagement equals ad dollars. So it's just, it's all, you're getting worked, I think, by people playing the album.
I'm not getting worked because I know I was going to say this one time. It was like, listen, I'm allowing the work in, and that's why this shit always works. We were talking about this on RGN this week. It's like, I read this ridiculous article headline. This article, it was absurd. It was so far left. It was so outrageous. Stupid. And, you know, I tend to be a left-leaning guy. And I was like,
this was a reach. This was the reach.
Right, even for both of us.
What was it?
It was a woman, it was an op-ed from a San Francisco paper, okay, for starters, that said that the Bernie meme and his outfit, like his jacket and his mittens, represented white privilege.
It epitomized white privilege that he felt comfortable wearing a jacket. He's an 80-year-old guy outside
sitting
in January.
Wearing a mask.
It was wild. I mean, if you believe it's true, I don't even want to hear that opinion because I want to move on. You know what I'm saying? But it looks like you're shaking your head. You know what I mean?
I don't even know what that means.
Old man from Vermont. Of course he has one of those jackets. And like,
if you believe
woolen mittens.
It was cold
in January, folks.
But it's not like he had sweatpants even underneath the jacket. He was wearing nice shoes and slacks, and then he's from Northeast, where those are the jackets people wear. It's like, and then the meme went viral. He donated all his money to charity. Just get out of here. It's enough. Now, I understand where
it's article right now because I need to see something.
It's wild.
I need to see
something. It's wild. Because
I have a theory about
if you think that. Okay, check it out. But anyway, that being said, I understand the point of it. It's just like, come on. There's better examples of this, okay? Now, all right, so I got worked a little with the Bad Bunny thing. But let me tell you, I'm going to say this right now. I got no beef with Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny,
goodbye
me because he's a mark. I got Machine Gun Kelly came in, had Kevin Owens body slam him, powerbomb him off the thing. No problem. There's sometimes where it's written sloppy, and I don't dig it. But when you're a mark and you come in, I'm into it. The problems are when they interfere with storytelling and get in the way of actual wrestlers. So Pat McAfee rubbed me the wrong way because look at these guys held out. He's gone, and then now they look stupid. You know? Like there's a delicateness to what it is, but even that's a fine line. Okay? All right. One last thing I want to say about Edge that I forgot to say. People be talking about Edge, talking about people. People are talking about people. Edge is on NXT, and people are like, would he go for Finn's title? I just want to let you know that there's zero chance that's happening. Zero. And I'll put money on that as well. And also, it's not that interesting. It's really not. It's you don't win the Rumble and then go after Finn. Yeah, but see, that was interesting because she came after him, after Charlotte, right? And she was the NXT champion.
Oh, she showed up on Raw.
Right. Rhea came after her, and then she was like, "I'm," you know, she kind of rubbed Charlotte the wrong way, where she was, "I'm going to step down just to show you who's boss," you know? And it's not even necessarily really cool about stepping down. It's just that, like, what is Finn right now? It's, yeah. I just
breezed through the article real quick and
you're into it.
Look, I want to move on after this, but I just want to say that, like, so the crux of her argument is basically that it's like, it's, well, first of all, the crux of her argument is
is
classist. She has a problem with the way that he looks in like a big puffy coat and mittens at a important event like the inauguration, right?
Yeah.
What, so basically it boils down to, if he was wearing a designer outfit of the same warmth, she wouldn't have had the same problem with it, because Kamala had to be there dressed up. Michelle Obama was there dressed up. Everybody's dressed up. But here's this.
He was dressed up.
But here's this Bernie Sanders who gets to be in a puffy jacket with mittens because he has white privilege, which of course he has white privilege. He's a white rich man, whatever. Right. But like, her argument is classist. She has an issue with his dress, with the way he's dressed, and the way, and then the juxtaposition of that in what she views as a like grand moment for everybody.
He's a Jewish man who there's pictures of him during the civil rights movement being arrested. You know, it's all right, whatever. It's fine. If you want to hear more, I know. I shouldn't have brought this up on the wrestling pod. Check out Regular Guy News though, out now. We need Aaron Newman on.
Here's an important point to make, though. Not every opinion that is on paper in line with the socially conscious wave of awareness that we have today is correct. It doesn't get to be correct just because
it claims
a moral high ground that they've erected themselves. You don't get to just be right because you're saying.
You also have to be responsible with those arguments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Though they come from a real grounded place, but you can't just recklessly use them when they're not applicable for heat. And that's what I would say is that if we want to talk about wrestling here, because since we dedicated time to this, it's already been heard here. You know, my first gut was like, oh, I should try to get this person on the podcast, on the Regular Guy News podcast, because I'm like, I got to hear this opinion. I got to talk to this person. I'm like, oh, well, that's
is anyone this, surprised?
That's this, the wrestling of it, right? Is that heat is heat. Being outrageous always gets the eyes. You know what I mean?
Is anyone surprised that this person who wrote this is a white woman?
Right.
Oh, my God. Is that fucking true?
Of course, yes. Of course, it's true.
Are you kidding me?
When I said, "Let me look up this article," I have an idea as to what this person who wrote this might be, and I was absolutely right. She's white.
And also, do you saw what town it's written from? It's written in what
San
paper?
San Francisco
Chronicle. Yeah. You can't even wear snakes
snake.
On your shirt over there.
You can't wear snake apparel.
There it is.
RK.
Actually, I have the Randy Orton, the San Francisco
that's
version
her.
Of.
That's
I have this,
of
I have this guys. I have the San Francisco version of Randy Orton's theme music.
I hear voices in my head. They cancel.
This is how he has to enter in San Francisco. The other version is it's too intense. Wait, can I see a picture of that woman?
What's her name, Newman?
Ingrid Sayer Ochi. Let me see.
That sounded so not white to me.
That's
when
what
we were
I was going to say. Like, maybe. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
of course.
So pissed off.
Of course. Of course.
Oh, I was like scared of being canceled. But why am I scared of being canceled? Can you cancel someone who doesn't exist? I mean, what are you going to cancel me from? Oh, folks. All right.
Life.
What's her name again? I feel like
Ingrid
we should.
I mean, we don't have to harp on it.
Your next stop, the Jabrones.
I just want to put her in the Jabrones on.
She
anyway,
condo her ass.
Oh my God! Yeah. Did she bring? She brought me a little joy, though. I'll be honest.
I always take everybody from. I have some prejudice towards anybody from anybody in the Bay Area
drinking like a $12 green juice.
If they're making news. A lot of the times you see like politicians or people running for office, people who are in the headlines in San Francisco. I am willing to bet that if I did a deep enough dive on her background, she has some sort of tech like connection or tech lobbyist thing. These fucking people these live in the upper stratosphere of society, and they act as though they're not part of the most privileged class in the world.
You listen, the most expensive city,
the most expensive city in the world, and she's talking about.
And you know this woman. You know this woman's vaccinated.
Vermont. How dare a Jew from Vermont wear mittens during the holiest of inaugurations? Like, come on.
Did you see that woman from that woman who's a Soul Cycle instructor who's already she got vaccinated as a instructor as a teacher?
Yes.
Oh, really? Oh,
so it's like you're like, whatever. Anyway,
Edge, man.
We're done talking about Edge. I want to talk to. I have a couple more things I want to discuss. That we'll move off that. We'll see where they go with Edge and Bianca. I'm interested in it. It's exciting. I'm way more excited for Bianca than Edge. You know, it's great. And I would have been so pumped for Alistair. You know. That would have been.
Does
just
he even work here like, anymore, though? That
It's over for Alistair.
It's over, right?
Yeah, I mean, he'll have to rebuild a lot. Like this was, if he wins another, like I just, you know, we're talking about the algorithm of moments. It was already maybe passed anyway.
Well, where is he?
I was thinking about it. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I think he's waiting for someone to knock on his door.
I think he's in his office, his dark office. It's hard to find. I wanted to tell you guys, I was texting with Peter Rosenberg.
Legend.
This deserves
24/7.
Oh, good for you.
I had a couple of great observations during our text. One being, I said, I'm glad that one Berg walked out of the title, which I thought was very funny, very Semitic humor. It was so funny because he won the 24/7 title, then he lost the 24/7 title. Like the next day on ESPN, R-Truth like came into the shot. I was on the Michael Kay show, but it was hilarious because I texted him to congratulate him. You know, I said, "Here, I'll find the text I sent to him." But it was like
send him a direct text.
Yeah, yeah. So I said that I was like, "This was on Sunday." I was like, "Yo."
I'm still fuming about that. I fucking...
Newman, sorry. We're done with that.
I know, we're done with that. But my brain's not done with it.
What?
All right, we're moving on. Okay? We'll say goodbye to that segment.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
We'll have you on. You'll come on RGN next week. You want to feel?
We'll do a live read.
You can go for an hour. You can go for an hour. Newman, we're gonna have Newman on RGN next week.
How do you do this to Newman in the middle of a wrestling podcast?
I knew it was a fucking fire. I knew it. Mm-hmm. I stepped on the fucking grenade. Man. But it's actually a perfect time because the Rumble happened. We're building. It's time to. So we're creating our own explosions here, folks. But Peter Rosenberg won the 24/7 title. Texted him on Sunday when he won it. Okay, and I said, Bro, congrats. An official WWE title holder. Huge. First ballot. Okay? Then I texted him Monday, and then I said, yo, that was a great run, man. I think it was so funny to text him. Yo, it was a great run. And then he's like, legendary run. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then we were talking about, I was telling him he's got to make commemorative shirts, you know?
Yeah.
I was saying they should say something like, yo, 24/7 champ, you know, like something like, not seven, but exactly 24. Right?
24 fucking hours good. And, 24 hours and 7 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. But man, so funny to text somebody, great run. They won the title for a day. You guys appreciated it. I loved it. Beautiful things. All right. Now, here's my other question. I was thinking about this like realistically now. So the Royal Rumble happened. We saw two wrestlers point at the sign. I don't think I can really go to WrestleMania, right? I mean, let's be realistic here. I want to go so bad, but can I go into a like? I'm thinking about this realistically. Can I go sit in a stadium right now? Can I? Tulo, you keep saying this one thing, which is you keep going to this back to the.
No,
same
no, no. I'm not even gonna say that.
Okay,
I'm not even gonna go to there. I'm not talking about the getting the house together.
Yeah,
and going together, which is the smart way to do it if we do go. But
right,
I think I would feel completely safe going. If I knew the tickets were spread out like by rows or something like that, I would feel drive down, stay in my own place, go to WrestleMania, watch WrestleMania, and leave.
Get COVID.
Pack a lunch, piss in my pants all day.
It's just like not fun though. It's not the same experience. Yeah, what's the point in getting all the way to Tampa?
It's worth it, but also it could make.
Listen, it's still on the. It's still on the. But I said it's not off the table
for Dan yet.
Because I was so excited that like Rumble that I like took a step back because I already have a ticket to Tampa. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we several of us do still have flight credits.
We could probably get.
But also, my antibodies are probably going to be gone by then, right? From COVID. So now I'm just like going full in. There's already 6 or 7 variants of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to
have that vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I've played it safe this long. I'm not going to risk it for
me.
That's
mania. What I'm saying. Like, I mean,
well, no, next year. I'll go to Dallas.
It's not even about risking it for mania. I'm actually way less. I had COVID. I survived. I'm like, honestly, maybe I'm wrong and naive. It's just, I'm just being truthful. I'm not that scared of COVID personally, you know?
Well, you probably don't want to get it again, right?
Right. I don't want it again, but I do want to see Rumble. To be honest, the math of getting it again and seeing Rumble live is very in favor of seeing Mania.
Yeah.
What, I said Rumble?
Yeah. Like 3 times.
I think you should chill, dude. Yeah. I think you should take some time off, man. I think. Let's go, Tori.
I think that the all right. So the math of watching Mania live and getting COVID again is—I will be honest—is not in favor of COVID getting COVID. The math is very in favor of like, yo, listen, it's the fucking Mania. It's Mania. You know what I mean? This might be Edge's last match. Okay. That being said, it's more about me being part of the vibe there. Right, like you, like it's not. Yeah. If it was a bunch of us being like, "Hey, we're gonna put on this event safely together because it's that important to us," and that was the energy. The energy going in there is like, "Fuck it, who gives a shit
it's
about
Florida?" Like, right. Whatever.
So now I'm kind of. I feel like I'm enabling that, but I might get over that.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest with you guys. Where are you at in this, Newman?
I'm not fucking. I'm not going 1,000 miles with it in that place.
I'm not talking about for you. I'm talking about for me. You guys
for
are
you,
clearly all not
you
going.
You used the words. I think you know. You used the words. Naive was one of the words you used. Wrong.
Shame.
Was a word you used.
Shame.
I think both of those are at play.
Shame.
For thinking you can go to COVID and come out on, or go to COVID.
I mean, I think
go to
for,
COVID mania.
Go to COVID mania. I think for Dan, like missing another mania is just like so painful. It's almost like he'd rather risk getting
the
COVID
last,
than miss.
That's exactly
the
right.
Wrestling show I went to. It. Yeah, but the last wrestling show I went to before everything locked down was the first SmackDown on Fox, and The Rock was there. So unless I know The Rock is going to be at a thing, I'm not going to be there. That already, I'm topped.
We're rocking in. We're rocking in.
I was
in?
At Elimination Chamber at the end of March of last year when COVID.
Okay.
So, all right. That being said, WrestleMania in Hollywood in 3 years or 2 years, then I might be wrong and naive. Yeah, then I might go regardless of what's happening. But
yeah.
Right, because you're not flying.
Flying, yeah. The risk is mitigated.
I mean,
what if I'm going into Mania, mask on, and this kind of vibe? Like, I'm like, yo.
I think
you breathe out
where
the smoke
my seat?
Through the mask.
Where the shield?
Where's my seat?
That music's going to be in play in 2023 when there's a full military lockdown and people are trying to go to WrestleMania.
Oh, man. All right. Well, whatever. So it looks like I'm not going to Mania, which, you know, fuck that. But all right. A couple more quick things. First thing is, so this Raw, I just want to say, kicked off with a Sheamus turning on Drew. Now, I'm into Sheamus versus Drew. I think that's cool because they have built up that they're friends for a while.
Sure.
So the story's nice. I did get the vibe of like it did kick off the Raw to be like, oh, okay, here's where they're going. This is a holdover show. Like Drew's gonna beat the shit out of Sheamus for a little bit until Brock's ready to come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But man, the second Brock comes and slams Drew, it's gonna be fucking sick. You know what I mean?
I love how cemented in your brain that all this is happening.
Let's bet. Let's gamble.
You're manifesting
let's gamble.
It. I mean, I think it's the complete
gamble.
Opposite. I think everything's switching. What do you want to gamble?
What were you saying in that? Do you remember that moment?
I was probably mimicking something that either you or Shebs were saying and thinking that whatever.
But it goes on so long.
It's almost like he's singing. Like I was trying to listen for what entry
sounds
song
very
it was.
Adam Sandler.
You ruin.
A little bit.
Yeah. Wait. You. All right. I mean. So Tulo, what do you want to put on the line here? It's gonna go Brock
Drew.
Let's
do the Fiend fanny pack.
Fiend fanny pack on the line.
Yeah.
Rock it in.
Yeah. Rock it in.
Okay.
I mean,
Aaron has a turtleneck on. And
wow.
A gold chain,
that's a huge gamble. That's a huge bet.
Yeah.
That's a big bet.
So
speaking of bets. We had some winners of the pools.
Oh, we did. Do you want me to read those names?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they deserve their due on the pod here. We had four full Royal Rumble pools, and that's not like for men's, women's. That was, right, for all the pools. 120 people. 120 participants. No double entries into the fourth annual. Got to give Tulo props on putting this thing together, which I thought he did a great job.
Fuck yourself.
Oh, dude. Right. Bro.
Yeah.
Bro, I just gave you props.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, dude, come on, man. I'm literally trying to give you props on what you did here.
Fuck yourself.
Oh, my God.
I don't even need to be on this show anymore. There's so many sound drops. You can just
stand black.
You don't even need Nick Tulo on the show anymore. You just have digital Tulo.
Yeah, just like the Ronnie cardboard cutout or whatever that is, Ronnie limo driver cutout. That just you just put me.
You are the
that.
Ronnie the limo driver of
cutout. Not very flattered by that.
Let's go, Tori.
Like he would go like, "Let's fuck some whores," and you. So that's his line. That's a quote. And you go,
let's go, Tori.
I mean, it's not as bad. It's not as bad, you know. But all right. So that we got that belt locked. Speaking of Fiend, this is the last thing I want to talk about. Fiend coming at you. Oh, the Rumble. Yeah, sorry. Go. You were gonna do a thing.
So I'm gonna probably butcher a bunch of your names, but congrats to Mitch Shalensky, Jose Gonzalez, James Yerger, Jeremiah Nolan, Rena Tapp, aka Renata. Whoever, this is a really funny thing. Someone had their wife pay for them to get in, and I never changed their name of who it was. But it was, so it's Jamie Olivo Quinn, but it's one of the Quins. Tuna Tar Dunga and Emily Scott, aka Patrick. So congratulations to everybody.
We had another two-time winner. I think, was it Jose?
Jose, back-to-back.
Yeah, he's a back-to-back winner, so he's in the two-timer club.
And a lot of crazy wins this year with the one and the three spot. So you never know, folks. Middle numbers, beginning numbers, end numbers, it don't matter.
Yeah, what numbers? What number? Do you have the numbers that won?
One and three.
One and three?
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Wow.
Think about that. When you get one and three, you're like, oh, I'm never going to win. And then
I'm so
like,
dumb. I thought there was going to be four sets of that. We had four pools. Yeah. I didn't really think that. Yeah. It's not going well for me, folks.
It's all right.
A little
you
bit
okay,
of COVID,
man.
Brain. Sammy
Guevara. He's like, you're a little stupid, but you're actually really stupid.
Okay. All right. It's enough already today. Accurate. But so Fiend is clearly coming back for a Randy feud, right? Probably at Mania. It feels like they're stretching it that far. My guess is something will happen at Chamber, but then their main match will be at WrestleMania, which I believe will be cinematic again.
Hell yeah.
Right?
I hope
because
so.
Since they have less people there, why? You know, why not do something cool? Do the Swamp of Destiny match.
And you got Alexa involved too. It's like,
yeah. So here's my thing though. His return is going to be so botched. Just prepare for that. The return of Fiend is going to be a botch. It's going to be, he just like shows up and that's it. They're not going to, he literally got incinerated into nothingness. I think, you know, he needs to.
I'm kind of hoping that he's playing a host, like he's using wrestlers as hosts. You know, like Randy will be his new host, and it's really
they're already
defeating.
Doing that, right? Because Alexa, they're already saying in commentary that Bray is in her, right? They're basically saying that, which is another thing they didn't really establish because she was like that before anyway. But I don't know. It's still good. I like it. I'm talking minor. But Alexa keeps turning back into her old self and
so cool.
messing with her opponent. I like it. Yeah. It's good. It's all really good. And then she had her. I mean, Alexa's amazing. She's nailing it. She's great. She's great. I just hope Fiend has some kind of thing that they. I don't know. I don't want. It's fine. I get it. But he got lit on fire. I need to. How does he reincarnate?
I know. Don't you kind of feel like you are right? I feel like I've been going along with this for a while now. Just tell me what's going on. I need to know all your powers. I need to know how you control things. We've been doing this for like a year and a half now. Like, it's time that we understood what's going on with the Fiend.
I don't want to understand all of it.
What if it just cuts to, like, they film it in reverse. They light like a dummy on fire or whatever. They put it in a rocking chair. They put it in reverse so the flames come back in. And then
fine with it.
Then he's back.
Done. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I just don't want him to show up like they and
like
I would bet another Fiend unscathed. Fanny pack. I'll bet we should do Fiend fanny packs and you get like 10 Fiend fanny packs. That's the only thing we get. Like that's our currency.
$500 value.
Right.
Like I would bet a Fiend fanny pack right now to anyone else that Fiend shows up and they're just go like he's back. That's it. And they're like they will maybe say like he was lit on fire. But it'll just be kind of a throwaway. Like
he's
not
been in a burn unit since then.
No Tulo, you want Fiend fanny pack on the line?
I'm putting my trust in Bray here and in the.
You
want to
put a Fiend fanny pack
that
on the line?
He will give it. He'll make it make sense.
I'll put a Fiend fanny pack on the line that from the Shop Zone.
Well,
WB Shop
right
Zone.
Now they're kind of saying like the Fiend is a spirit.
He's ignoring
right?
it because he doesn't even believe what he's saying.
Another Fiend fanny pack? I don't want to do two Fiend fanny packs. Why don't do
fuck
the Fiend
yourself?
Yeah, why don't we do like a Fiend mask?
So then no, my currency is Fiend fanny pack. All
right, find another Fiend
Sasha
fanny
Banks,
pack.
Sasha Banks looks like a million Fiend fanny packs.
Yeah. correct.
Is it so? It's $1 per pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like
200,000 Fiend fanny packs.
Yeah, that's more like it. Because I think that she's gonna be. It's okay. He's back. He's back. He maybe at the most they'll say like he must not have been died from that. Yeah. Right, like that'll be the most they say, but you think they're gonna have a video showing it because, like, I would have already seen like Alexa go back to like an egg, like maybe not that, but like some version of that where it's like he has to rehatch, like Groot style. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like something like that. What happens if you remember? Like think about. Let's talk about. It's based in horror movies. They and it's always lame, but who cares? At least it's something. It's like. Jason will get hit by hit by lightning and then he's back to life, right? Like something like that.
Well, I mean, you know? Like Michael Myers, right. He had his head chopped off. You know,
right.
There's no justification needed.
How does he
sometimes.
Come back though?
He just comes back. Yes. They just retcon. They like pretend like it never happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Exactly what Vince McMahon's gonna do.
Yeah,
well, because honestly, there's no. That's the thing with Vince is like, is he right though? Like, I don't think. I think how many people care as much as I do?
The only justification I see in it all right now is that Alexa's clearly communicating with someone that's not there, right? Which is if the Fiend had that body, right? It's gone. So now it's just like this spirit that's looming around. And then it's waiting to find its. That's not worth it.
Or she could try to convince.
It was a little hippie for me.
What'd you say,
like,
Newman?
She could try to convince Bray to let the Fiend in.
Yeah.
Like take your body, because then it would just justify his being the same body again. So yeah, there's ways they could do it, but they won't. He'll just appear.
Yeah. And it's fine. Like we'll be fine with it. We'll be cool. He's back, but it is annoying. You know.
Well, because they just leave it on the table. They leave all this good story writing on the table for no reason.
So, like, Tulo, like, you're saying, like, oh, you want to know how he works. Like, I don't need to know all the secrets. I like that he's a little ominous. And I don't need him to make total sense, even, like, because he is.
I agree.
He is a full blast spooky boy, mm-hmm. you know? But I do want to acknowledge that he got burnt to a crisp. Because then what's the stakes of anything else that happens with him? You know, that's the most
like
way
Voldemort.
You could die.
He's kind of like at the Voldemort stage, right? I mean, right? Voldemort came back as like this recreated being, but all that time he was away, you know? And now.
Right, but Voldemort was like, in the first Harry Potter book or second, I don't remember, he's literally in the back of somebody's head because it takes him a while to like make form again and it has to be dark. Like, that's awesome. I like that.
See where I'm going?
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's good. That was good. Tulo, I think you did a really nice job there.
Thank you. Fuck yourself.
Dude, bro. It's unbelievable. I mean,
Get tired of this, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, that's all I had to say this week. I have one last thing for you guys is that I'm curious if anyone has used Clubhouse. Any patrons or anyone? I'm just going to farm out to you guys on Discord. Let me know if you've used the app Clubhouse, if that's something we should look into, because I'm hearing a lot about it. I'm on it. I got an invite to it. I'm a little confused about it because it's like all audio. It's kind of like, you can live, it's kind of like radio. You can live plug into like our channel and we'll be talking, you know? Mm. I'm curious if any of you guys like it or are using it. Let me get any feedback about this thing. If this is something I should spend some time on. It's a random thing, but you guys are our resources. You know what I'm saying? All right. We'll see where everything goes here, everybody. One last reminder before we head for the hills. Go to patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. We're doing our push for 20 patrons. We're about halfway there, living on a prayer. And what you get for that, by the way, is you first off become a member of the community, which now with our Discord, it really does. You get access to, we're on there all the time. You get access to hang out with us. We post we put out our A Mark Is Born video. It's me and Tulo telling the story of Tulo becoming a writer for getting in with Tony Khan and becoming a writer for AEW.
Shout out to Phil.
It's a rags to riches story of Tulo. And Phil made an awesome cut of that. We post that a couple days early on the Discord so you guys get early access to stuff. So you become get a little behind the scenes and you get more access and you become a member of the Cal community to the next level. So that's awesome. Plus you get bonus episodes every Friday. Me and Tulo do the AEW NXT episode. We don't let Wednesdays go to waste, baby. Also when we hit, and then also monthly CalZoom Thunderdome, which is we hang out on Zoom, watch a pay-per-view together. It's like being in a bar with us. Mm-hmm. It's a very fucking good time. And we'll literally watch the Elimination Chamber, which will be what? Is that? I don't know the date of that.
Dude, we got to watch Revolution, February. Elimination Chamber is going to be March.
Yeah, the only issue with Revolution is people have to buy it, right?
Oh, right.
So it's like, it's so much, like people already have the network, you know?
Maybe we do a post-Revolution show, like
all right,
like Zoom thing, like
we'll do something for Revolution. I mean, I'm down to do it. It's just that how many people are gonna actually buy it, I don't know
about that.
And it's $50, which we talked about a lot of times. How many people got $50 to spend on a wrestling pay-per-view? Right now I'm not sure. I think it's too expensive. I've said it to them. They don't listen to me.
Beach break is free tonight, so
anyway, so the CalZoom Thunderdome will be for the Elimination Chamber. We'll do something for Revolution as well. Good point. And then also, if we hit this stretch goal of our 20 new patrons, which we're already halfway there, living on a prayer, we will introduce new Cal art immediately. Already been doing work on that. I'm so excited for you to see what that is. A new sticker based on that art will be mailed out immediately to every patron at all levels. And the return of a 10-episode season 3 of the Cal Movie Club starring Aaron and myself.
Woo!
Will be going. The movies are already picked up. Uh-huh. That'll be good for patrons at every single level. So at the $2 level of Patreon, you get access to the Discord. So that's all. That's a low amount of money. And if you can't do it, you can't do it. But you could join us over on Discord, which is a way better version than the Facebook group. Facebook group's still going. But we post more behind the scenes stuff, more back stuff on there. Yeah, too low.
I just also want to mention on Thursday nights, we do Cal Game Night too, which is a lot of fun.
Yes.
We've been playing Among Us, which is a good time on my Twitch channel.
I call it Among Us.
Twitch.tv/TiptoeWithTulo. So check it out. It's a lot of fun. Everybody in the community has been playing and stuff like that. So if you're into gaming and stuff, Thursday nights we do that there.
Sauce is fucking all fit right in.
Yeah.
It's a great, great time, folks. It is a great, great time. Thank you so much to all the people who are supporting the pod and are part of the community. You guys are fucking awesome. Great time in the CalZoom Thunderdome. And we are officially on the road to WrestleMania. Everybody, thanks for watching the show and keep watching wrestling. Kisses!